Hey everybody, happy new year. This is our first show of 2016. I'm Blaine Lay, and you're listening to Two People. It's a podcast about Richmond, and we believe that each of us is really two people, your personal self and your public self. And who you are is where those two meet. So each episode, we talk to someone from around town about their personal experience and how that comes to life publicly. Today on the show, I sit down with Ross Catro. Ross runs RVA News. It's an online news magazine. Now, Ross is super curious. He's positive. He's a little quirky. And we recorded this episode at Chris Payne's house. Chris handles the technical end of the podcast, so the editing and all that stuff. And Ross told Chris to be ruthless in editing if he started to ramble.
Chris, if I go off on like a crazy dumb tangent, edit it out. I will not listen to it and be like, yo, where was that stupid 10-minute thing?
Chris was there to set up sound, and Ross was unsure of whether to mention the fact that Chris was present.
Can I reference you in the podcast?
Yeah, I'm a person that exists.
He had to let his dog out before we got into the interview, and Ross was concerned because the weather was so cold.
You're going to go inside.
For the whole time?
Yeah.
It's freezing. I'll have you know it's actually 33 degrees.
Is it?
Yeah, I just checked it on my watch.
So that's a little taste of what you're in for on today's show. Ross tells the story of how RVA News came to be. He talks about how he shapes his son's pop culture sensibilities. We also talk about his love for movies and how that shapes the ways that he sees Richmond. At one point, in a pretty masterful move, he compares how building a great city is a lot like filming a great movie. Ross is a hopeful, optimistic guy. He cares about Richmond and has many thoughts about the place that he calls home. You're listening to episode 18 with Ross Catro. This is Two People. Anywho's, all right, Ross Catro.
Hey.
The man, the myth.
The legend.
Or just the regular man.
I think I like legend better.
Yeah, the man, the legend.
Mm-hmm.
How are you, dude?
I'm awesome. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm great. We're sitting here at Chris Payne's house. He's in the house. His dog is outside. We've got beers.
No, that's not true. I did not let him put the dog outside. It's too cold.
His dog is inside?
His dog's around.
We don't know where the dog is.
No.
Something to be looking out for. Ross, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, man.
We are glad that you are here and that you are a person.
Yep. And I think combined, we're two people.
We are. That we are.
Mm-hmm.
RVA News.
Yeah.
It's probably what you're known for. That's mm-hmm. not the only thing about you because you're a human.
Mm-hmm.
What is RVA News and what is your role there?
So RVA News is an online news magazine, which is what I like to call it.
What does that mean?
We write and produce and publish stories that matter about Richmond, about this region, about kind of life from the perspective of people living in Richmond, and we're online only. So there's no tangible goods.
No tangible goods.
No.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And my role there is I'm a publisher, so I own it. I guess I'm the boss, kind of, and we have other people that do things to actually make it. I don't really do.
I feel like you're not heavy-handed. I've never heard a boss say, I'm a boss, kind of.
Yeah.
I want some butts.
Yeah. I have an amazing group of people that I work with that do all the real things.
Okay.
I just sit back in wonderment as it happens.
You're the facilitator. You stumbled into this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe slightly more proactive than stumbling, but
yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll get to that. So I want to talk about RVA News. We're going to table that, and we'll get into how it became what it is, et cetera. But I want to go back in time.
Okay.
Ross, where did you grow up? Because you moved around a lot as a kid, yeah?
I did. I moved around a ton. I was, if we're going to be technical about it, I was born in West Virginia, which is a thing. Chris is over there nodding his head sarcastically, I think. I was born in West Virginia. What of it? People. So my dad worked for DuPont, which meant we moved around a ton. So like I lived in Chicago, lived in Brazil, lived in Delaware a trillion times, lived in Belgium, and then ended up in Richmond when I was about 15.
How did all those places shape you? Like, what was that period of life like where you're just moving around a ton?
Yeah, basically every 2 years we would up and move. And so you'd go through the whole thing. I remember one time we moved this was like right when we had CDs still, and like, I had gotten, for some reason, a Doobie Brothers CD and just put on Old Black Water. Remember that? Is that the name of that song?
Old Black Water, yeah. Mississippi Moon.
Yep. And I just cranked it so loud on my stereo. I was like, Mom and Dad, take this song from probably when you guys were kids. Listen to it. And yeah, so I did that a lot. And I guess as I got older, the song probably got less and less from my parents' childhood.
What was it like living in, like, from Delaware to Chicago to Brazil to Belgium? I guess I'm probably more interested in the countries that are not America.
Right. Well, Brazil was cool. But I mean, I had a ton of freedom. My parents are super cool. And I just like did, I think, things that would be considered crazy now. Or, you know, in Brazil, like, we could just walk down to the market. But it's in like a crazy third world country.
How old were you when you were in Brazil?
I was 10 when I was in Brazil. And I was 14 when I was in Belgium.
Okay.
So still pretty young. But like, you know, in Brazil, since my dad worked for like a big giant company, we lived in the top two floors of an apartment building. We had a pool on the top of the apartment building. We had a driver. We had a live-in cook, a live-in maid. It was like a crazy different world. But it allowed me a lot of freedom to do kind of whatever I wanted.
Right. What did you do?
I think we just basically swam in the pool all the time. And we would go buy comic books and stuff and go to the market.
Okay. And you're like you're a big comic book guy to this day, yes?
Yeah, I am. I was relapsed for a while, but I'm super back now.
You're back into it.
Yeah.
But you moved back to Richmond.
Yeah.
When you were 15?
Yeah, after Kurt Cobain died. Moved back. Not because he died.
Right.
but that's how I place it in my life. You know, Kurt Cobain died, I was living in Belgium, and then later we moved back.
What was it like? Like, when you came back, did you know you were going to be in Richmond, or was it like, this might be another 2 years, or was it like, we're back and this is where we're going to be?
No, it was definitely like, this might be another 2 year thing, and we just ended up staying. And we stayed through, like, I graduated high school here, then I went to Tech, and my parents after I went to college, my parents moved again. But I was like, I'm not doing that. So I just kept coming back to Richmond in the summer.
So what would you do, like, Thanksgiving, Christmas, winter break in college?
Drive a ton. I would drive up to Delaware where my parents were living because they moved there for like mm-hmm. the trillionth plus one time. And then I would drive back down to Blacksburg. Like, the trip from Delaware to Blacksburg I have done many, 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 many times.
Wow.
Yeah. And like, I was dating my high school girlfriend who is now my wife, Valerie.
What?
Yeah.
And sweethearts?
Sweethearts. Yep.
Is that an asset that you've known her for so long?
Well, yeah, totally. It's totally an asset because I think we, like, a lot of people who get married have to go through learning lots about the people they have married. Not to say that we're not always learning stuff about ourselves, but like, I am now romantically involved with Valerie longer in my life than I have not been.
Whoa.
So yeah, it's crazy. So
that's
like
a mind blow.
So we know a lot about each other, and I think it makes for efficient communication, right? Like,
yeah.
And so I would come back to Richmond from college. Or come back from college to Richmond to like see her, and mm-hmm. she would come to Tech, and then we would go to Delaware. And
what did you study at Tech?
Mathematics major, religion minor. Yeah,
mathematics sounds it sounds like you don't need to see the matrix. Like, you could just like do a formula because you know the matrix because you studied mathematics.
Yeah, here's the thing is math is very, math is number, well, see, that's a misconception. That's exactly what I was going to say.
What?
Math is,
it's like an infomercial.
I am not a arithmetic major.
Okay.
Which is what a lot of people think. They're like, hey, add these numbers together quickly. I'm like, well, let me just get on my calculator. But you're a mathematics major. I majored in algebra, basically. Very like weird algebra that four people in the whole entire world use in their day to day. And that is what I majored in. And it was fascinating. And then I've never thought about it ever once again.
But did that teach you any type of thinking discipline in terms of like variables and if I change that, or is that
too abstract? That's what I told my parents so they wouldn't freak out that I was majoring in mathematics, but no.
And you were a religion minor.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. the rational and the spiritual. How did those two things
I don't together? Know. Like, I had a lot of church friends in college, and the thing that really made me minor in religion was I had an amazing Old Testament professor who was a super analytical dude. And like all the religion classes at Tech are secular religion classes. So like, they are all very analytical and like, you know, here's the historical context for these things. And here's like, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, here's how we study from an academic point of view, the Bible.
Right.
And like really like walking away from some of those classes, like if you don't have a grasp of the Bible, it's a really hard to understand a lot of Western mm-hmm. culture and history and stuff. So it gives you a good place to you know, watch movies from and be like, oh, I get it, a Christ story.
So yeah, so in a sense you could say that you minored in religion so that you could understand movies well.
Yeah, that's a good, yeah,
which we'll get to.
Yeah. Or books, you know.
Books. Or books. Any books type of cool. Any type of media mm-hmm. or things that make your life more rich.
Yeah.
Lots of narratives.
Narratives.
You moved back to Richmond after you graduated.
Yes.
What was your first job?
My first job was working as a in-house web design developer at a business that was owned by someone my mom played tennis with. And it was cool. I mean, it was very it's very nice of them to give me a job, basically, because I had these like grant. I was like, you know what? I'm going to graduate from college. I'm a math major. I'm going to go work for Secret Service or Lockheed Martin and be like a secret math ninja. And they were like, we're not going to hire you. And so I came back. I was like, Mom, do you know how do I get a job? She was like, here's how.
And you said it like that.
I did, yes.
Mm-hmm. And you worked for at one point. From there, you worked for the Virginia
Information Technology Agency.
It sounds awesome, oh. But I've heard it is less.
I mean, you know, hey, they're the state, they're the IT department for the state, and which is not nothing. Nope. And so I did a lot of like web development for them, and then at some point left and started my own web design and development company with another guy, and did that full time.
Okay, cool. And from there, RVA News would eventually become a thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I want to ask about your son specifically at this point in time.
Yeah. JR, he's the best.
Because you have a family.
I do.
You're with your high school sweetheart, Valerie.
Yeah.
You have a son, JR.
Mm-hmm.
You enjoy things such as comics.
Yeah.
Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
Do you guys have a Nintendo? Is that like a thing?
Yeah, we have a Nintendo.
Does your son play Mega Man?
Oh, yeah. Everybody loves Mega Man, but yeah.
That's true. Mm-hmm. What other games do you have?
Well, we have Battletoads. Surely you remember Battletoads.
Well, I do not. You're incensed.
Yeah.
I apologize.
Battletoads is good. You know, Mario 3. I think Mario 3 is probably his jam at the moment. He plays some old Nintendo DS games too, so like Super Mario All-Stars on the DS.
Have you ever beat Mario 3 without the whistles?
No. No one has.
Whoa.
That's not true, but no.
It's not easy to do. So I have a video that I would like to show you of your son.
Okay.
And I'm going to set this up. So he's a little guy. He's maybe 3 years old. He is wearing a Tony Stewart t-shirt.
He totally is.
A NASCAR shirt.
Yeah, that's a NASCAR shirt.
No pants at all.
No.
Just wearing socks, and he's in the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And the narrative tension that's happening is he is selecting a Band-Aid, and he's trying to decide between Hulk and Captain America.
Yeah.
All right. Let me play the video here.
Okay.
Show me which Band-Aids you've got there.
How did you find this? This is
the Hulk and Hulk and Captain America.
Which one do you want to use?
This one.
Which one's that?
Hulk.
And which one's the one that you don't want to use?
This one.
And which one's that?
Captain America.
He's adorable, is he not?
He is.
Yeah.
That is amazingly cute to be.
Yeah, yeah.
Did he make the right choice there, by the way? The Hulk Band-Aid?
Yeah, Captain America is a doofus.
That's true. Is that par for the course in your house?
Yeah, we're very, I guess, like content-driven. I don't know what the word is. We are immersed in popular culture all the way around the family, and we spend a lot of time with it. I think we don't have any of the, like, I don't know how, you know, parents like, oh, I don't want to do screen time. Like, we don't have a whole lot of aversion to screen time. And my wife, Valerie, and I talked about it a lot, where it was like, you know, how much should JR get to watch TV? What's the deal? And literally the things Valerie and I love the most are television and movies and like culture. And it seemed dumb to be like, hey, kid, you must find something boring to do because we want to watch this show.
We're going
to
go watch House of Cards.
Right.
It's almost like, yeah, if you never, well, it's like if you were very sheltered and you just go nuts when you're in college. I wonder if in a parallel universe where he had no screen time and he only got books, and then he got to college and all he would do would be just watch things on screens because
it's kind of all he does now. So I'm not sure. And that's not, hey, no judgment on whatever you want to do with your kids. You know,
yes.
I don't really care.
Yeah.
We watch a lot of screens.
What have you enjoyed about being a dad?
I think that like the culture thing of being like, I am the arbiter of culture. And so like, I will tell you when you've made the wrong Band-Aid choice, you know, and I get to introduce him to Star Wars. And like, we went and saw Force Awakens together, and like, what a cool moment of being like, mm-hmm. for probably, I mean, he was watching like the original trilogy when he was probably three. You know? And we've just been watching those movies forever and ever. And to be able to take him to the movie theater together with Valerie and be like, hey, as a family, we're all gonna like experience this for the first time together.
Right.
It's like awesome. And like it's for a short period of time, I get to be the guy who tells him what's cool to like.
That's awesome.
And that time will end, you know, shortly, soon. And while it's here, I'm into it. It's like awesome.
And he's seven now, yeah?
Yeah, he's seven.
Okay. Cool.
So I think we probably have like two more years and then maybe not even two more years.
Until he's playing the Doobie Brothers record.
Yeah.
Like, I hate you, Dad.
Yeah.
It'll be like Kurt Cobain or something.
Oh, God. I would be like, turn it up, man.
It'll be what you think is cool. Cool. So RVA News.
Yeah.
Can you tell me how RVA News came to be what it is today?
Sure. So many years ago, I started a site called RVA Blogs. And the impetus for that site was that people blogged a lot back in the early aughts.
It's like mid-2000s?
Yeah. And so people had tons. There were like lots of blogs around Richmond that people were writing. And we didn't have RSS readers yet. We didn't have like, I guess we don't have RSS readers now, but like we didn't have a good way of like coalescing kind of all these people. And you just had to like go check them one by one by one by one. So I made the site that kind of aggregated them all together, and it pulled in all the Richmond blogs I could find. And at one point there were all these community news sites that kind of also sprung up.
Right.
And so those flooded RVA blogs with all this local news, which was awesome, but it just kind of pushed out everyone's non-local news content. So I set up a separate aggregator for the news sites called RVA News. And that's where RVA News started. It's not that anymore at all, but like that's where it started.
And the world would never be the same.
Mm.
At the very beginning, what made you get into the blogging side of things? Like what made you say, hey, you know what? I'm going to go do this thing.
Yeah, I think I had always... I mean, I started building a web page for myself when I was probably a junior or senior in high school. And then throughout college, like I had a crappy computer in the closet that ran a website,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I kept trying to get my friends to write for my website. And I think in my mind, I always thought it would be cool to run a magazine. I didn't know that's what I thought, but like that's what I wanted to do, but I couldn't put words to it. And so RVA Blogs and like later RVA News was just like progression and path of creating a presence where other people, where I could highlight the kind of the talents of other people, you know? That was the cool part. It's like, hey, here's a guy, and like, here's a cool thing that guy wrote. Now let's expose 100 people to that guy's thoughts.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
And I think that's interesting because I would say the DNA of RVA News in a lot of ways still is that, where people can contribute. They don't have to work for you. Like they can have a day job, but you're still able to feature the talents of A, awesome writers, but B, awesome things and people around town in terms of the content that you're writing about.
Yeah. And like we have, like there's people that we have met through the internet that they were just kind of like self-publishing their own blog. And then we've offered them a column and then they've graduated from their column into better, like bigger and better things. And it's nice and cool to be a platform for people to like show off. And then like, that's the best when someone's like, hey, I can't write for you anymore because I have a full-time job writing somewhere else. It's like, that's awesome. Like that's fantastic.
Yeah. Was there ever a point in time where you made a decision and you said, you know what, I'm going to start this awesome online magazine? Or was it more a gradual step-by-step thing that you were kind of learning as you go?
Yeah, totally gradual. Like I said, it started as an aggregator with no original content. Like we weren't writing any of that stuff. And then we were like, you know, I think we could add like one story. Just like, let's do one story maybe three times a week that we write. And like it was movie reviews is where we started. You know, let's just run some movie reviews. And then like, I was like, well, what if we did a story every day? Well, what if we did two stories every day? And like, just kind of grew and grew and grew into where we are now. And, you know, we're running, you know, 7-10 stories a day, every day of the week. We have 4 full-time employees and some part-time employees. And like, it's always been this kind of gradual, like, what if we do this thing? Like, how do we add that? Like, what does that look like?
And how do you guys, so think about movie reviews. How do you guys think about things that are purely a Richmond focus versus things that are kind of national in scope? How do you think about both of those two things?
I think about it a lot, and I think it's fascinating. I think that there is value in, certainly there's value in local news, right? Like, the city council BRT stuff, right?
Uh-huh.
Like that we covered to death, and I think that's super valuable, providing local folks with local news so they know what's going on in their community, so they know how to interact with their community and what everything means. That's super important. I also think it's super important to be able to like listen or read something written by someone from your community that's not necessarily about like a local thing. Like movie reviews are a good idea. When you read, we don't really do them anymore on RVA News, but like if you read a movie review on RVA News, you would know that it would come in our voice and it would come from the perspective of RVA News. I think there's like a lot of value in that. And especially kind of changing like throughout the internet where, you know, Bitter Southerner, are you familiar with that website?
I've heard of it. Yeah.
So Bitter Southerner is like this guy who does food writing, or I don't know if it's a guy, it's a person. There is a person who runs a website called Bitter Southerner, and it's very food driven. Like I just read an article about black bartenders, history of black bartenders, mostly in the South, but elsewhere. But the perspective from which that site is run is a Southern perspective.
Yeah. Okay.
And so I think that's valuable for RVA News is like when you read a family thing on RVA News about Lego and how Lego is good for your family, that comes from a Richmond perspective.
Right.
That might not mean a lot for that particular piece, but like for other things, when we write about Confederate flags, certainly like our perspective on Confederate flags coming from Richmond is important in that telling.
I feel like here's something that happened in Charleston, whether you're talking about their statues or the shooting.
Yeah.
How do you think about RVA News in the landscape of like a Style Weekly or a Richmond Times Dispatch? Like, could you do what you do without both? I guess, how are you different and how does what they do complement or compete with what you're doing?
I think we all do different things. I think, and like Richmond's a media heavy town, I think, for the amount of folks that live here, for the size of our city. I think the TD is the paper, right? So like many things come with being the paper. Like they have a lot more resources and they have also a lot more restrictions where, you know, they have to be, I think they have to have, in whatever their standard reporting is, they have to have less opinion. I think they have to have less voice. They're appealing to a wider base of folks, right? Mm-hmm, so not that it's watered down, but, you know, it's more even keeled and more whatever, neutral. So it appeals to a lot of folks. Now, their editorial stuff is not like that and is very good. Michael Paul Williams is the best. I love that guy. I think Style Weekly is the alternative, right? They're the weekly alternative. And so, and I don't want to speak for Jason or anyone at Style, but like I think that I see them as a oppositional role to some of the like paper stuff, right? They're the alternative. So like they provide you with the alternative point of view of like, I don't know, alternative on politics, but also like they do like music and all that kind of stuff. Like they do a great job covering that. And they're also in paper. Like that's their thing. It's like a weekly physical item.
You'll see it when you go into the coffee shop right there.
Yeah. And honestly, that's a critical role. Like I think a printed weekly alternative is really important for a city our size. We're online only, so we don't have that. I think the thing that sets us apart is our tone, mostly. Like our tone is extremely positive, weird, like a little weird. We like jokes a lot, so we're telling funny, slightly weird jokes. We're kind of analytical driven, so like if we want to talk about something, we want to make sure we can back it up. But we'll do it in like an amusing way, probably. Right. There'll probably be some jokes. And if we have to criticize it, like we try to criticize from a, like, hey, Richmond, we love you. We want to see you succeed. So here's like a thing
it's
that you
not,
do better.
Yeah, it's from a place of like loving criticism rather than like we want burn. Like,
yeah,
you're not going to torch the city.
And not to say those other folks, like it's not like any sort of like, I don't know, like it's not like a duel to the death or anything. It's
right.
We're all, I think we're all pals. We're all working together, like, you know, especially with BRT, like see Ned who works at the paper all the time, see him around, like everyone's pals. It's a cool, I think in like in another town it would not be this way, but in Richmond everyone's pretty cool, everyone's pals, we all work together. It's nice.
Yeah, I really like the, I think that's really true about the voice of RVA News, and that it's optimistic, it's kind of, it's fun and sort of jokey, but it's also like clear-eyed. You want to give people a perspective. And I think what that does for...
Yeah, that's so good. I will write that down because I think that's better. Optimistic, clear-eyed, and jokey. I'm into that.
Jokey?
I interrupt you because...
No, but I was going to ask, how are you able... Because I think the voice is consistent, but there are individual writers that have their own voice within the larger voice.
Yeah.
But I think, like, what is humorous... Like, there are different styles of humor, but it can still be a funny thing. And I think anybody can find their place in that.
Yeah.
So RVA News so far, what are you most proud of?
That's a good question. I think that when the shootings in Charleston happened last summer, I think we sat down and we decided that we were going to cover things in the way that we thought was true. And I think there's this guy, Jay Rosen, who's like a news professor at NYU. He talks about the view from nowhere and how a lot of times media will feel the need to present both sides of an issue with equal weight. And you can do that in a lot of different ways, but like if you, for the, about Confederate flags and stuff, for instance, if you interview, and this happened, like I read this article where they interviewed Ed Ayers, who is the former president of UR, who is a historian, like that's his training, his job. He has many, many years of practice as a historian. And they got his opinion, you know, here, what do you think of Confederate flag, blah, blah. Then they also interviewed one of those flaggers that stand out from the VFA.
Right.
And they like got that dude's opinion and gave the same amount of words to that guy who's like a loony standing on the sidewalk every Saturday.
Right.
Compared to Ed Ayers, who's like a legit dude, you know? And that creates this false sense of not bias. There is a, you know, it creates this sense where both of these are equal, of equal weight to the reader.
Right.
And that's just not true. Like, Ed Ayers is way more legit. You should listen to what that guy says over this crazy person.
Right.
And so when that stuff in Charleston happened, we all kind of sat around the table and we're like, how do we cover this? Like, what do we do? And we're all like, well, we all think that, like, the Confederate flag is, like, ridiculous. Like, it is not have a place in Richmond. Like, what are we celebrating when we fly the Confederate flag? We're like, well, what if we say that out loud? Like, what will happen to us? And everyone at the table, like the sales team, the like editorial team, like everyone was like, I agree, we should not be flying this Confederate flag anymore. And I was like, why don't we just say that? Like, why don't we say like, this is what we think? And so we did. All that to say, I was really proud of how we handled that. And it kind of like changed, I think, how we think about news. And I think it made us feel more okay with saying what we think. I think you have to tell the facts, right? Like with BRT, for example, like we ran a ton of pro BRT content.
Right.
Because I believe it is good. I believe it is great and it's going to help our city. You know, we also talked about the operating costs, and the operating costs have gone up by $1 million since they originally like talked about the operating costs. I think it would have been unethical and just unfair to not share that fact.
Right.
But that doesn't mean I have to go interview every single person who hates the BRT and print their thing in my magazine.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think there's something about, I think, our generation of readers, there's a different skepticism, I think, that when they read sort of just a straight-ahead news story, I think some folks are always looking for, like, there's always some level of bias.
Yeah.
And I think you guys have made a choice that's just like, all right, like, we're going to state a perspective, still try to present the facts. And I think a lot of that is infused with, like, we are positively trying to improve this place how we see fit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's something to that. Like, I think you at RVA News, and from what I know of you personally, there's like this weird commitment to positivity, which I think is like really unique and like weird, especially in this day and age, like weird in the best way, that I think it's so easy to just want to throw stones. Like, you see that in like political conversations. You see that.
Yeah.
All over the place. So you've started a podcast. Yes. This is,
it's not
so,
this one. It's a different one.
It is not this one. It is correct. Called Sam and Ross Like Things.
Yeah.
With Sam Davies.
And Ross.
And Ross. Yep. That being you. Mm-hmm. Some of the things that you like. So I want to follow this line of thinking. Kroger brand string cheese.
Yes.
Tom Cruise. Evernote. Charming Smiles. Lee's Famous Chicken. Drake Miller High Life.
Lee's Famous Recipe Chicken.
Lee's Famous Recipe Chicken. So not the restaurant, but that specific.
No, that's the name of the restaurant.
Okay.
Just get it right, man.
I'm so ignorant. But the thing that, like, the bias on that show, it's you and Sam just talking, and it's like, I like a thing, you like a thing.
Yep.
And you will have conversations and stop each other when it's like, this isn't a show about not liking things.
Yeah.
That you've hemmed yourself in, and the bias on that show is that you can only like things.
Yeah, and you can't feel bad about it. You can't hedge and be like, well, I like this thing, but I realize this other thing's better. Like, it's okay to like stuff. Like your thing and be happy.
Yeah, so where does that come from? Like, with RVA News and with Sam and Ross, like, this, like, we're going to be positive. We're going to look for the best. Like, things aren't always going to be pretty, but we're really going to try to figure out how we can, like, be appreciative. And, like, that's not an easy thing to do.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's so appealing, though, right? Like, I think it's easy to dislike things, but like everyone feels good about stuff they like. I mean, it feels good to like something. And I think I have a lot of empathy is one of my, it's like a double-edged sword where like I have a lot of empathy. So when you're negative and mean, especially to a person or something, like I feel that. I feel real bad about that stuff. and sometimes it's a motivator to be more positive, right? To be like, hey, how do we look at this more positively? What can we say about it? How do we avoid saying negative? Not avoid saying anything, but like, do you even need to say this thing that you're right. saying because it's so negative? But at the same time, it's also paralyzing at times where some of the stuff that you do need to say that will hurt people or hurt things like is hard to say because I just feel so much empathy. So Salmon Ross Likes Things is like a nice place where you don't have to feel any of those feelings because you just like a thing straight ahead, like it, feel good about it. And it doesn't have to be a big thing or a little thing. It's just stuff I like. Yeah. Stuff Sam likes.
I respect that. Things that you both like. And big shout out to Sam. All those things were just things that you like. But there is a whole host of things that Sam also enjoys.
Every episode
as well.
I like a thing, Sam likes a thing, and they're both different. So like you two for the price of one.
Yeah. Check it out. Sam and Ross Like Things. .com? Not .com.
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 Yeah. .com. I would like to now discuss movies with you, Ross.
Okay.
Are you game for that?
I am double game. I'm the game starring whoever.
It's probably a movie.
Of course it's a movie. Michael
we
Douglas.
Can look it up. Okay, nice. I would say that you're a movie savant.
I don't know what that
means. If I may go so far.
Please.
So there is a place on the internet called Letterboxd.
It's awesome.
Letterboxd.
D.
No E.
No E.
And you have a profile on Letterboxd.
Yeah. It's like Goodreads for movies.
Yes. You watch a lot of movies. Sometimes you will watch multiple in a day, and there is a string for like 3 to 4 years of all the movies you watch. Yeah. Old, new, mainstream, art house, like blockbuster, little thing, amazing, critically acclaimed movie, terrible movie.
Yeah.
That is fascinating to me. Like, I think, and you also, you rate movies. You rate each one with a certain number of stars. For some of them, you will write a little blurb about them. For example,
are you going to read me?
I'm going to read you. I went and found some of your blurbs.
It's going to be embarrassing.
This is the first one. This is a 5-star movie you rated.
Yeah.
Are you a person who's sitting around waiting for some men to act at you in a way that is 100% enjoyable and amazing? If so, I recommend Django Unchained. And you go on to talk about how great Jamie Foxx, Christoph Waltz, Samuel L. Jackson, DiCaprio. here's another one.
Go ahead. No.
There's some
really complicated and interesting thoughts about Samuel Jackson in that movie that I probably would readjust my star rating. Oh, well, I don't know. I would.
Well, you could go back and watch it again. Yeah. Write a new rating.
Totally.
We'll post it.
Yeah.
another one. Fast and Furious 6.
Yeah.
You gave it 2.5 stars.
Hmm.
You said, hey, you get pretty much what's advertised on the 10 later. But then you say you found yourself truly tense as Vin Diesel flew through the air to headbutt a dude.
Yeah. you can't throw shade on Vin Diesel.
So I'm going to rattle off a handful of the videos. I'm going to say the date, the name of the movie, the number of stars you gave it, and you just give me some quick thoughts.
Okay, and if I forget one of the movies, we'll have to get Chris to edit it out.
Yeah, it's totally fine. Yeah. We could do that. November 27th, 2015, you watched Lawrence of Arabia.
Oh.
And you gave it 4.5 stars.
That movie is so good.
So this is like a classic movie. It's long, but it's remarkable.
See,
I've never seen it. It's on my list.
You need to watch it.
Why should I watch it?
Okay. One, it's about World War One. Mm-hmm. This is embarrassing. I don't know. It's about one of those big wars, man.
It's about a war.
And I'll tell you what, that movie is incredible. And I think some people don't, like you said, it's long. And so people are like, do I really want to watch a 3.5-hour movie?
You do.
You do, because it's freaking unbelievable. The acting's so good. And just the storytelling. And it's amazingly shot. Like the Lawrence of Arabia, he's a British guy. And he takes his like group of this is embarrassing. I should watch the movie again so I know all the things. But he takes a group of folks through the desert. And the shots are just incredible, where it's just like, did you see Mad Max this year? Anyone see Mad Max out there? You know, Chris is shaking his head. He saw Mad Max. And there's a lot of just like blue sky, desert, you know? And that's just, it's like so from Lawrence of Arabia, where it's just Lawrence in a vast sea of orange sand and a vast ocean of blue sky. And it's just like, whoa, the desert is like a terrible, forsaken place. I'm kind of a little speechless because it's.
But funny. That is a classic film.
Yeah.
And we go from there. April 5th, 2015, this was a movie that I had not heard of, but it sounded remarkable. It's called Zombievers.
I was hoping you're going
to pick Zombievers. Are those zombie beavers?
Yeah, they're zombie beavers.
You gave it 3 stars.
Zombie
Tell me about Zombievers.
And like,
am I saying that right? Zombievers?
Zombievers, I think, yeah. I think, and you have to look at the box art for Zombievers because it's a little intense, and it's just, like, it's a classic teen scream, as they're called, and it's like, oh, there's some teens in their bikinis. on a river, on a lake cabin or whatever. And also the beavers are there, and because of the toxic waste, clearly they are now zombies and they're out to kill everyone.
It's hard to know whether or not you would be able to appreciate and understand zombievers had you not minored in religious studies at Virginia Tech.
Right? Yeah.
Because you're able to understand like the motifs and the themes and what's happening.
Here's the thing, like
the allegories.
You should always make a good movie. That's my thing. If you're making a movie, you should make a good movie. You can make a good movie about whatever you want. But like if you're gonna make the movie, you need to make it a good movie. And I think zombievers got halfway there. It was close, but not all the way. That's why I only 3 stars.
November 1st, 2014, Batman. Michael Keaton, 4 stars.
Yeah.
I think Prince did the music for that film.
Did he?
I don't know. What are your thoughts on Batman? Do you have a favorite Batman?
Yeah. I mean, I think you have to say Dark Knight Returns or whatever with what's his face?
Christian Bale?
Heath Ledger.
Oh, Heath Ledger, yeah.
As the Joker. But it's really, we like that movie because Heath Ledger is the Joker. I think the Michael Keaton Batman, I think, is a better Batman than these Christian Bale ones. I think we started strong, and I think I'm not a super big Christopher Nolan fan. So I think Jack Nicholson. Like, there's a lot of good stuff. And like honestly, Blaine, those Batmans, those early Batman, especially Batman 1, Batman 2, they keep the comic book feel. New Batmans don't feel like books at all. They feel like really intense movies.
Right. It's more blockbustery.
Yeah.
I think I want to say Tim Burton did that. Is that right?
Yes. And he did two. He did the second one as well with Danny DeVito as the Penguin.
Yeah.
Which grossed Valerie out so much she will not watch it again.
Yeah. He's strange in that film. The last one. This is the highest rated one. April 9th, 2013. Evil Dead 2. You gave it 5 stars. You said it feels like a director's movie. You felt like he made the movie that he wanted to make. You said the Evil Dead cuts the fluff, concentrates the sauce, and layers on a hearty helping of Bruce Campbell punching himself in the face.
I should write things more often. That's brilliant, whoever wrote
that. It's great.
That's awesome.
Evil Dead 2 sounds great being read out loud. Yeah,
it does. Evil Dead 2 is one of my top 3 movies of all time, I think. I think it is a perfect film. And I think, just like I said, you can make a great movie about whatever you want. And that movie is an excellent movie. There's nothing extraneous in that movie. It's so tight. It's scary in the right way. It's funny in the right way. We don't really have horror movies like that anymore. I mean, Cabin in the Woods is like kind of in that vein, but like we don't have these movies where like dude had a vision and because do you know any of the history of Evil Dead?
I've seen the first one. I know Bruce.
So Evil Dead is like Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2 are basically the same movie. And
right.
Like he made Evil Dead, and then it was like, well, I wish I could have done better with more money. And so he made Evil Dead 2, which is exactly the same, just executed well. And that's why I think you get that director's movie thing where he like made it and was like, man, if only I could do this again, I could do it so well. And then he did, and it's just perfect.
That's amazing. How did you get into movies, and what do you enjoy about them?
I don't know. I think the format is brilliant. Like telling a story in about 2 hours is my favorite thing. I think it's better. I like it more than books because you can like it's like a sitting, right? You can get the whole story in a single setting, which is nice. It's better than TV because I don't think we've really figured out how to tell a complete story really well over the course of several seasons of TV. People get close, like, you know, we're close to it, but
right.
Like a really well-made movie is like tight, you know, it's all there and nothing else is not there. And so I don't know, I just like the format a lot. I know people like TV, I know people like books as a format, but just the format of a 2-hour story is really compelling to me.
Is there anything, I was thinking about this today, because I went super deep on the internet, specifically on your movie taste, but I was wondering, there's something about watching a movie and the way that you describe it and how you think about them and your enthusiasm for film that I think there's like, I think you're pretty open to like amazing films that are critically acclaimed and like ones that are terrible or like awesomely terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But you're also able to like openly look at the merits of each just based on like, you're just going to watch the film and like, look at the music, look at the story. How's it shot? What's the music like? Did I say music twice?
Mm-hmm.
But is there any, I was wondering if there's connections between that and like how you look at Richmond. So like, you've got some amazing stuff, some not so good stuff, but are you, I feel like you're able to look pretty open-handedly and evenly at what's going on in and around town and like say this is good, not so great, you know, 2.5 stars or like 5 stars.
Yeah, you know, if you're gonna make a good city, you should make a good city. Like, you and I think one of the things like we get stuck in a lot in Richmond specifically is we want all of our projects and all of our plans to be perfect. We want them all to be 5-star movies, mm-hmm. but like, you know, sometimes we don't have the talent to do it. Sometimes we don't have, I'll keep extending this metaphor.
It's
sometimes,
like Evil Dead 1.
Yeah. You know, yeah. Sometimes we're making Evil Dead 1. And that's honestly, if we're honest with ourselves about the state of Richmond, like we are Evil Dead 1 at the moment, you know, and we're aspiring to make Evil Dead 2.
How do we make Evil Dead 2?
You try, like you work hard. Like you keep trying. Okay. Here's how you make Evil Dead 2. First, you have to make Evil Dead 1. That's the real answer. Right. Like, I think BRT, again, this is going to be a super dated episode. Like, we'll listen to this episode 3 and be like, BR, what? But BRT is a
great...
Are
we old? Are we, like, in our 80s?
We are, yeah, when we listen to it, yeah. Don't tell anyone how old we are. You know, we'll look back. BRT, like, we have to construct this thing. We have to make Evil Dead 1 first before we can be like, okay, step 2. What
and
do
BRT,
we
by the way, is Bus Rapid Transit for those that have not been following. But
oh,
continue.
Yeah. You can read all about it on RVNews.com. Yeah. But yeah, so you have to start, you have to do a thing, and then you have to learn from the thing you did. And I think a lot of the times in Richmond, we're so terrified of our past failures that we're afraid to do a thing that will cause us to learn more things, you know? Mm-hmm. So we might as well not even do any of the things. Right. I'm like, I don't want to fail again. And that's the wrong lesson to learn from failure.
And is that, like, there's a mentality there that a lot of, like, in the startup culture, it's like test and learn. Don't, yeah. like... plan the thing 100% and like put all your money in it and build it. It's like, do a little thing, test it, figure out if it works, do like 2 or 3 little things, figure out if it works, learn as you go. If you're developing like an app, like you can test and learn, but if you're building a city, like it's hard to test and learn like a bus rapid transit. You can't test and learn.
I mean, if you look at it, I think Richmond is doing a good job of testing and learning where we have lots of small things going on mm-hmm. that are growing. Like, I think breweries is a great example, right? Like Hardywood by itself is a small thing, but it has unleashed upon us like a much, much bigger thing.
Right.
I think in the context of transportation, BRT is a small, small thing. It's 7.6 miles on one street. The vast majority of the money comes from people who aren't Richmond citizens or not from the Richmond government. It comes from state funds, federal funds. It is the perfect test and learn thing. Like, we can build this extremely cheap, extremely quickly, and we can learn from it, you know? There's like tons and tons of bit like Ledbury. I think about Ledbury all the time. Like, I think Need Supply. Need Supply did a good job of setting up kind of like a fashion clothing thing. They did a lot of testing and learning that I think made it possible for people like Ledbury to come in later and like just kill it. And all, stuff like that's happening all over Richmond. So we're doing it.
Yeah, and you know, I think you don't always have to be first.
Yeah.
Like, what is it? Like the Steve Jobs, he wasn't the first. Like, he went in, he was like, oh, that little mouse thing.
Yeah.
I could use that.
Someone's got to be first, man. And sometimes, like, it's not great for those who are first. But right. yeah. I think Richmond's a cool place where folks who do want to do a thing can find support, can find the pace here is so slow that, like, yeah. it's a lot easier to
for
do
better
new
or worse.
Things.
Yeah.
yeah.
And there was a TED Talk that you gave. It was essentially on doing small, boring, achievable things over time.
Small,
you're
boring,
like, oh,
achievable.
Like, mm-hmm. I could learn how to crack an egg with one hand. I could
totally learn that. Yep.
Did you digitize Lego books for your son and put them in Evernote?
Yeah.
Or
do
like
that.
Cleaning up trash. You can do these small, boring, achievable things. And it sounds like when you were young, you had great aspirations to be an astronaut or to go to the moon or
yep.
to be a state senator for a week. But what you've done with RVA News is that you built something by doing small, boring, achievable things, by persevering in that over time. And then you like wake up and you're like, oh, wait a second. Like, I have this thing. You're able to like influence and shape the community at large with like clear-eyed analysis, with a little bit of humor, with hopefulness. And I think, hopefully this is affirming to you, but I think that's starting to like seep into the water around here. And that's really exciting.
Yeah.
I affirm you, Ross Catro.
I hope that's true.
And all the other people that work for you and with you.
Yeah, yeah. It's not me. You can affirm everyone else because okay. it's I just sit around.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's super affirming. If a modicum of that is true, I will feel fantastic about life.
What frustrates you about Richmond and what do you like about it?
This
is the one time for the guy that's like optimistic and you can't talk about negative things on Sam and Ross like things.
Uh-huh.
What's one thing that you don't like?
I dislike our fear of failure. Like, that's a huge thing where we are not only we have a fear of failure, I think we have a inability to learn from the failures. Like, I think recently the Redskins training, which is an offensive word that we shouldn't say out loud, the team from Washington's training center, I'm not sure that that is the success that we wanted it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of just it being a thing that now we reference as the archetypical, is that how you say that word? Let's go with it. The failure that we just say, like, right. Oh, we don't want another boondoggle like this
right.
thing. Instead of that, like, why don't we learn a thing about it? Why don't we learn what we, how the process went, what we like to improve upon that, you know? So I think that's a thing that frustrates me. Can I have two
yeah.
things that frustrate me?
Yeah.
I think another thing that frustrates me is, I think, and maybe this is true across the entirety of the United States and the world, but like there is, I think generally the citizenry is uninformed, and perhaps that's my fault for not informing them, but I blame you solely.
You can.
I think it is my fault. Uninformed about how the process of government works. And so like right now, teachers want more. Teachers have had a compressed salary, meaning like their salaries are basically the same as when they were 10 years ago. So like folks who have been working there forever are making way less than they should
right.
be making. And there's lots and lots of like anger about that, which is justified, directed at perhaps the wrong places because
mm-hmm.
people don't understand how the process works, you know? And so I think if we did a better job of informing people like how city government function, especially like the way our city government in particular relates to the state government is really weird and how that works, I think we would have a more engaged and more thoughtful citizenry. But maybe that's like, I don't even know if that's possible. If the vast majority of people can just understand how council works.
Right.
Cause it's like opaque anyway.
Right. The point about teachers is really interesting because whenever there's a thing, somebody always says, oh, well, you don't care about this other thing. And usually it's like, even like the bike race. It's like, oh, there's this great bike race, but we should be spending all that money on something else.
Yeah.
Is that a like, logical argument.
That's
like,
exactly
the right way to be thinking about it.
That's exactly what I'm talking about, where like money for one thing, due to just how budgets and stuff work, like money from one thing can't just magically find its way over to another thing. And that's complicated. I don't really understand it all. Like if money's coming from the state for a thing, the city has to use it for that thing. And so a lot of the times it's not just as simple as being like, well, if we never had a big bike race, then we could have like school facilities.
Right.
And that's just a way too simplistic way to look at it. And it's part of that thing I was saying where like we need people to be informed. We need people to be passionate. And we need people to go down to city council or school board or wherever it makes sense for them to go. But a lot of the times I think people have this emotion and they don't know the right place to
yeah.
output it for the best results,
yeah.
you know?
And sometimes I think those conversations can often be really binary where it's like either we do this or we do that
yes.
other thing. And it's like, well, I just think a city is more like an ecosystem where there's all these interrelated parts and it's like complex and ambiguous. And just like if you spend money on a bike race, like it could be that, and this is obviously simplistic, but we have a groundswell of people in Richmond, more people come to the city, tax revenue,
yep.
that you can make it a more attractive place. Like over the long term, if you have smaller things like that over time, it could be that the city's positioned in a way that actually strengthens education because people desire to live there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a simple argument, but I just think often when we're trying to make decisions about funding, it's usually more complicated and complex. And by the way, it's really easy to sit here and talk about the people that make policy where they have to make decisions between often two options that are good options between competing goods and say, well, okay, how do we use our finite resources? And I don't envy that. And I'm appreciative and thankful for their service that they wade through all of that when there are passionate, honorable people on both sides of a lot of issues, and there's not always a right answer.
Yeah, it's the worst job in the world. I would never want this job.
Yeah. So the other question, the other side of the question was, so you just said things that frustrate you about Richmond. What do you like about Richmond?
I think we have the best vibe. Like, we are a wonderful blend of, like, I think we are optimistic about our own future. I think at the same time, we are self-loathing slightly. We have slight hate for ourselves, but in a way that encourages us to do better or to try harder. I think we're skeptical, like a healthy bit skeptical. But I think we're also overwhelmingly friendly. And like, I think it's due to a lot of like, we have, we are the South, right? Richmond is part of the South.
Mm-hmm.
We also are mostly mid-Atlantic. Like the current state of things, we are a mid-Atlantic place. And it's this wonderful blending of that that I think is super awesome. I was having beers with this lady the other day, and she's from the North, the New England part of the
North
country. Yeah. And she was like, Southern hospitality is like a real thing. People keep buying me drinks and like talking to me. It's so strange. And I was like, yeah, like this place is great. Like you are free to do your thing. And people be like, oh, your thing sounds great. That's wonderful. So I really love that. I love that about our town. I like that our town is big enough to feel like you're in a city. It's small enough to do your thing. Like if you wanted to have a podcast about two people in Brooklyn, you would be one of six
totally.
Million. You know, there would be 6 million podcasts.
It's like the perfect size, because if it was also it was like Harrisonburg, Virginia, I would talk to five people and we would be done.
Yep.
If it was Brooklyn, I wouldn't be able to get to the people.
Yeah.
Here it's like usually and you know somebody
it's
that knows
perfect,
somebody.
Man. And like we are in a wonderful time for Richmond right now. This is the best time to be in
is
Richmond.
Is this the golden age of Richmond?
I will not say it because that implies,
you can't say that in the
that,
time.
That implies
that,
it's,
that looking
that it's
back.
Ending yeah. or that will right. I think we are in a golden era for sure. Ooh. Like we are like in a hot time period.
A renaissance?
Yeah, I might. Yeah, sure. I might say Renaissance. Like, like in the early aughts, we like people who had cool ideas were leaving Richmond to Brooklyn or Austin or Portland to take their cool ideas to execute them in these other places, mm-hmm. and it was really annoying and really disheartening to see really talented people leave. And now that's not the case, man. Like this, people are now coming to Richmond, and people who have cool ideas are staying in Richmond.
Who?
I don't know what that sounds. It's like an
it's owl. Like a it's like a whoop. There it is. Derivation.
Is that an Arsenio Hall?
No, that was me like trying to get excited where we were gonna like create a mob and like walk through the streets.
Maybe a Tim
maybe,
Allen.
Like beating our chests.
Tim Allen.
Yeah, there's a little bit of home improvement.
Okay. I feel all of those sounds about.
Yeah,
Richmond,
all
though.
Those sounds about Richmond. I think this is all a part of the vibe.
Yeah.
Final question.
Okay.
Ross Catro.
Yeah.
You have a son.
I do.
JR.
JR.
It always comes back to your son.
Yeah.
What do you hope is true about Richmond when he's grown up?
Oh man.
When he's in his 60s. Let's say he's in his 60s, he's still in Richmond, he's sitting on a rocking chair on his front porch. What do you hope is true about this place?
I hope this is a bummer thing. Do you want to like end on an up note or end on a down note?
Oh, you could bummer.
I think what I truly hope is I hope by that time, what is that, 50 years from now, that we will have confronted our issues of race in town and like figured out what we need to do about it. I think we are in a wonderful, again, like our position in history as the capital of the Confederacy, as a major source of slavery. I think we are in a wonderful place to be like, hey, our position in history with racism is really important. And we are in a wonderful place to lead from, you know, we can decide, if we wanted to, we could decide to do things to change the conversation about race in Richmond. And those things would be looked at from elsewhere in the country as like, oh, you know, if Richmond can do that, like maybe we can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Someone brought up a good point where like Baltimore has a commission on the Confederate flag. Their city government has a commission on the Confederate flag. And like, what do we do about it? They haven't necessarily done anything about it, but they're at least talking about it.
Right.
And like, we haven't even gotten to the point yet where we're willing to really, really talk about it. And the issue of race seeps in around every single dang conversation mm-hmm. we have in the city. Transportation, you know,
yep.
BRT does not serve the people it needs to, which is code for it doesn't go into the poor black neighborhoods in town. The Maggie Walker statue, you know, Maggie Walker was a black banker and Jackson Ward was destroyed by the highway that was built by white mm-hmm. people, you know, and we would rather save a tree instead of put a statue right. here for Maggie Walker. Like every public conversation we have in town is surrounded by this context of race. It only makes sense if you're an alien visiting from some other place and you like looked at the history of Richmond, you'd be like, oh yeah, clearly this place is going to deal with race
yeah.
for a long time.
Yeah.
So when JR's 60, man, I hope that he is like, that was a crazy time. Like, I can't even believe that for 500 years, like, you guys dealt with race mm-hmm. in that way. And that was crazy. And I'm glad you guys did some of the work to get to where we are now.
Yeah. Yeah. We've got a ways to go.
Yeah, we have more vegetarian restaurants, too, when he's 60. Yeah. That'd be cool.
Is he vegetarian?
No, but, you know, eat less meat.
Good. Well, Ross Catro.
Yeah.
Thanks for being on the show, man.
Thanks for having me. This was so much fun.
We appreciate the work that you're doing. Thank you for your clear-eyed analysis.
I'm going to start using
that
word.
For your curiosity and going and reading the maps, and I think for the optimism, despite some of the things that divide us, some of the frustrations, that you're still hopeful for things to come.
Cool. Thank you.
Great. This has been Ross Catro.
See you guys.
Bye. So
you hit the button?
No, I don't know what else you're gonna. What if you say something else cool and I want to use it for something?
At least
it's called the post roll.
Oh,
is that what it's called?
Yeah, post roll.
Let me crack another beer.
Pre-roll,
post roll.
For more Ross stuff, listen to his podcast, Sam and Ross Like Things. You should also subscribe to the RVA News Morning Email Update. I get it every morning, and it's the best way to start your day. I'm not even paid to say that. It's just a true thing. You can check out Ross's TED Talk on doing small, achievable things on the blog section of our website. As always, you can subscribe to our show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Our theme is by No BS Brass. Chris Payne is a man that would offer another man a warm bowl of chili on a cold night. Thanks for listening.